Good evening. It's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, something happens. And this is that event. At the moment, where we are is we are researching together the American Book of the Dead guidebook by E.J. Gold. It was written at the same, roughly around the same period of time that E.J. was constructing the Red ABD, which is the more traditional book that many of the practitioners read. And this is a different push on it. This is a different view of the Bardo space and what happens with the Voyager. And it gives us, I think, great insight into how we can help each other on this. But the most important thing is that really hit me early this morning was I, just about like that, you know, I realized I'm reading this and I'm reading it by myself, you know, and I'd read it, I don't know, last week, but I hadn't written the email yet to announce the class, and I finally got to it early this morning, and I was reading it, and I didn't know what to say about the very first line. Can you read the first line, please, Pat?
One, I, in my perfection, comprehend the knowledge of all things at once.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so I read that, and I go, wow, that's something, you know? And I was in wonder as to what to do, and I didn't know how to proceed. I don't know how am I going to write this darn mm-hmm. thing? And then two names came to my brain to call these people, so to connect to these individuals, and I followed that intuition. Mm-hmm. And I don't often do that. It was just, you know, I had a thought, and then it flows through my brain, right? Oh, you should call so-and-so. And then usually what I do is I dismiss it and go on with my busy day. But I took it as an instruction, and I called both, connected both of the individuals. The first one was Molly Midway. And you think, well, if you know Molly, if you really know Molly, you know why I called her. And so I called her, and she was, is she online? I can't tell. And she just started talking about stuff. And in this stream of consciousness, she came up with a core concept that really hit it for me. And then she went on, you know, with whatever.
Yes. Yes.
And I noted it down. And then the other person that came up was somebody who's doing just as much discipline in their readings, which is Nortiana.
Mm-hmm.
Daily, this individual yeah. is organizing these groups and leading them through an exacting process that we haven't seen in decades. And so I got a hold of her, and I told her what my task was to try to, and she said, well, I don't know. So then I just started talking to her, and she, and the same concept came up, exactly the same concept, from two individuals, they weren't in the same conversation. The reason I'm bringing this up is that we can all take the first line of work, discipline, which is work on self, and we read this material, and that's good work. But another line of discipline is work with others. As soon as I connected with these two individuals, it opened the chapter up like unbelievable. And then I got another taste of it tonight at dinner when Ivan came in, and he and I started talking about the second half of the book. So it's this idea of not only working on it yourself, which is an important discipline, but working with others And if you open your mouth and you begin to work with others, you'll be surprised and delighted. So we're going to quickly go through the first two verses and be amazed by them. And then it's very important we go to the second half too, because it's just something else. So
let's start with
why don't you,
the title
you start,
and everything.
Lead us off then, okay?
The 15th book of the dead, called the Book of Ul-Alim 1. I, in my perfection, comprehend the knowledge of all things at once, the manifest and the hidden, the first and the last, the inner and the outer, without limit.
Two. And this comprehensive knowledge of clear and perfect disclosure is the highest and most perfect knowledge possible. This knowledge cannot be derived from objects, but in fact, objects are derived from this knowledge.
So, I'm talking to these individuals, right? And I read this stuff to them, and both of them declared after I was done, they go, I don't know what I said, or in fact, I don't think I helped at all, but it was the process of doing it together that helps us, because you will be surprised. And both of them came up with an interesting concept about that very first line is, comprehend the knowledge of all things at once. And I, of course, started thinking about that in a linear manner. Mm. Oh, well, I know A and I know B. I'm going to add C to that. I'm getting closer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that'll never happen that way.
Right.
And both of them independently indicated this is something that winds up getting imposed on you. And if your state is in a certain way, you're open, maybe too open, to the sensitivity of things. And when that happens, it comes upon you. Now, maybe that's different than the ultimate I in my perfection. That's a different guy. But the doorway, and that's what we've been discovering here, is that these are doorways that these attributes are opening to us. If we can be in a certain form of active surrender, certain things will flow through to us. If the vessel has been cleansed properly, if the vessel is empty and it has been cleansed, something is able to flow through. Then you become a portal, and these individuals were portals and they knew it. And in some cases, not necessarily something that they wanted. It wasn't something that they wanted. They were burdened in many ways with the degree of, as they call it, sensitivity. Interesting, huh?
Yes. Not unheard of from many, many, many of the traditions of the hidden wisdom or the line of the secret wisdoms. I have a lovely book at home that I read from frequently, which has a collection of those types of things. And it has, Sufi poets and Catholic mystics and, mm-hmm. The range of the traditions. And they all speak to the obligation that they have accepted to be receptive to what could be known and also what could be expressed.
We were in one of the conventions we were having down in Sacramento many years ago, and this is one of the conventions that Lee came to.
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Lee, was he Mr. Lee then, or?
Maybe not exactly at that moment, but
yeah,
we're referring to Lee Loswick.
Lee Loswick, but, and, you know, we've somehow in the course of all of this, he was actually not in front of the group. He was standing. I remember it distinctly. It was so moving. And somehow the question came up is, well, how'd you find yourself in the position you're in?
Yes.
And he said, and then DJ was implying the same thing during that course of the conversation, is that they found themselves in this position of being asked, would you? Would you serve? And they could see the magnitude of what that might mean. And which, when they returned to where Mr. Lee was expressing, when he returned to that position, he's not sure from where he stood then if he would have said it, but also in that space, of course, he says yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was the portal. It was able to occur. And these individuals have taken on the ability to stand in that place of inside and outside knowledge and the thought of what something is, and it is the thing, and the thing is the thought, and this is the knowledge. And there's a perfection in that, that in itself is perfect. And it's a great burden that they bear. And so is it something that they want to do? Well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by I want to do that? Of course not. Of course, yes. So it's fascinating to have these attributes unveiled to us.
And line by line, there's more to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We could delve for 2 or 3 weeks. I could delve for 2 or 3 weeks happily in verse 1.
Yeah.
And be just pummeled by the potential of it, because it's clear and precise and unknown unless you do the digging. And you have to, you know.
And you dig yourself and you dig with others.
Exactly.
Too. And we're blessed right now with the transit experience with two individuals. And yeah, I was working, I was just saying this at dinner before you got there, Pat,
mm-hmm.
that last night I had a very, very busy day. But Nancy Burns needed some help,
mm-hmm.
and I said, well, I'm finishing around 5:30 in Nevada City. I can come over, help you, and then maybe we'll have a little dinner together. And she said, okay, great, come on over. So I came to her house, and we're doing this task, and we got it done,
mm-hmm.
and we're starting to eat. Then she gets a call from Denise mm-hmm. saying, I'm on my way to Lily.
Mm-hmm.
And what I said at dinner, I said, in my mind, the automatic response was, I can't go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too busy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's pretty acceptable, right?
It depends on what you want.
I mean, you know, it's the middle of tax season. I've been just floored with stuff. Oh, yeah, I understand.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. So then I'm driving home, right? Nancy and Denise are headed over there, however that worked. I'm heading home, and I thought to myself, so what if I had been in Lily's bed
mm-hmm.
that night? What would my thought have been about, I can't, I'm too busy?
Well, I can easily tell you that it's very unlikely that if you were in Lily's bed, that you would have been having any thoughts
like
whatsoever
that.
Of that nature.
And that led me to, when I read these first two
yes.
paragraphs, I think
yes.
that's where you're at, right?
Yes, exactly.
So we're blessed with these two individuals, Karen last week and now, and Lily's working however Lily works, you know, in her magical manner.
Mm-hmm. So one of the bits of this particular book, the 15th book, the name Ul Alim, I do not know how that may be understood, but I know that if you take the expression that is given here, I, in my perfect, in my perfection, comprehend the knowledge of all things at once. There are objectivity, subjectivity, and neutrality in the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it names I as the person, or I personally, or me in my whatever form I am, in my perfection, comprehend. So there is a distance between I and my comprehension, the knowledge of all things at once. So this is one of the examples of the three tamarinds is what brought me to this. The fact that within all spaces there is the opportunity to have something on the plane in which you are on, something above it, and something below it, however you understand that.
Mm-hmm.
There is always the opportunity to be subjective, objective, and neutral. At the same time, you don't change your location one bit. It's your point of view. That's how I understand that first phrase. I, in my perfection, comprehend the knowledge of all things at once.
Yeah.
Taking it in, taking it in, taking it in, but from whatever relative or objective stance that you can hold. Did I see you holding comments there, Dan? Go ahead.
Well, the first thing that came to mind when I saw the words comprehend the knowledge of all things at once was the Bodhisattva vow, which is, and I don't remember the exact wording, but it has to do with extinguishing all desire all at once.
Yeah.
In a flash.
The passions of delusion are inexhaustible. I
vow
to extinguish them all at once. And that's I can say that a series of riddles. They're inexhaustible, but how can I extinguish them all? Yeah, so that's what we're introduced to, and then we are led into a remarkable second part here, quite remarkable. And we wanted to, why don't we go ahead, should we go ahead and read that then?
Yeah, maybe let Ivan do a bunch, because his voice is very
His voice is really nice.
Start with three and then...
And then when you're finished, just done, let me know and pass it and we'll take it on.
Three. And this is the instruction for the 12th day of the unfolding of the five primal elements of consciousness. Four. And in spite of all the confrontations you have had, you are still being led backward into rebirth and the reformation of consciousness by attachments and error. But it is still possible for you to recognize reality as it is in spiritual consciousness. Go on. Five. And if you recognize reality as it is, you shall not become afraid nor shall you seek refuge from the terrifying apparitions of the forms of violent guides, which are the forms of the primal elements of consciousness appearing within you and without you. 6. And on this day, the violent guides of the order of karma shall appear to you. And if you do not recognize them as they are, they shall bring fear into your heart, and you shall seek refuge from them. 7. And they shall appear within the guide who is before you now, and they have come from within your own beingness. 8. And he who is not afraid of them and is not overcome by them, he shall recognize them, and he shall remain awake. And he who believes in their reality, he shall be cast down. But he who recognizes them as the forms of his own consciousness, he shall be raised up, and they shall be to him as brother and sister, mother and father, son and daughter, husband and wife.
9. And on this day, the 8 violent and evil women shall appear to you. And these are also emanations of your own primal consciousness who form within you and around you and before you. 10. And they are not to be feared. They may appear as girls or as women, and they may seem ordinary. And your senses shall form again in a view of the world of matter, but you are still in spirit. And it shall seem to you as if an ordinary meeting. 11. But they shall come to you, and they shall cast you down if you believe in their reality, as they seem to you now. 12. And you shall be in the presence of the 8 violent female guides on this day. And this you must realize now, not afterwards.
13. And there shall also appear to you the bloodthirsty one, the female guide, who shall be infatuated with death and dying. And she hungers for death, for she has never tasted death. And she hungers for sleep, for she has never tasted sleep. 14. And she hungers for suffering, for she has never tasted pain. And to her consciousness, suffering and death are tales told by another. And she is the cause of worldly suffering, pain, death, and disease. She is the mother of the world.
15. And you shall be in the midst of female guides who practice magic and witchcraft, and they shall cause fascination and desire. And you are in the presence of the guides who are the cause of desire for the world of matter. 16. And except you recognize these guides as the forms of the spiritual consciousness, you shall be reborn without consciousness.
That completes the reading of the 15th book of the dead, called the Book of Ul Alim. Now you have a puzzled look on your face.
That verse, I don't get that. Can you read that again?
The last verse, 16. And except you recognize these guides as the forms of the spiritual consciousness, you shall be reborn without.
Yeah, when I read that, actually, when I read that, I'm trying to think of what rebirth that would be without consciousness. And so it could be as simple as saying it's a ignorant, you know, or a sleeping, an entire lifetime of sleep, you know, of the mechanical machine. But then I was thinking, boy, isn't there consciousness in everything? How about if I was reborn as a rock? But even a rock has some degree, I think, of awareness or consciousness, I could say, from the point of view of this guide, of this book. Yeah, a tree certainly has some awareness or consciousness, and certainly an animal does. And then what about a rock?
What I'm wondering is if it's meant, like, consciousness is the basic element, and that is associated with the brute dimension, I think, isn't it?
Well, if you're talking about the five primal elements of consciousness, they each have an aspect of one of the six worlds of samsara, death. But this sentence actually makes an equation.
Okay.
It says, except, meaning unless, you recognize, meaning grok, understand, comprehend, agree to, internalize, you know, whatever word you put there, these guides, and they're plural, and they've just been named. All those guides that have been named about the violent and evil women who are guides, unless you recognize these guides as the forms of the spiritual consciousness. What's your choice here? If something is not a form of spiritual consciousness, what is it? Is there something that exists which is not a form of spiritual consciousness? I'm posing that. And here's the equal. If you don't recognize these forms of consciousness, then you will be reborn without consciousness. It's a puzzler in a certain way, and in another way, it's a statement of fact. What exists that is without spiritual consciousness? Aren't all forms of spiritual consciousness a guide of anything? I mean, isn't that the case? Isn't that what we're, this is like, to me, this is like inclusion presented in a different way. If you didn't get it before, here's another way of saying the same thing. Everything is either a form of spiritual consciousness, or if it is without form, it is just spirit. So if that is not the case, then you're reborn without consciousness. Meaning,
well,
there you go.
The we may not know what it means exactly to be reborn without consciousness. In the Tibetan literature, they do talk about don't feel so smug. You know, you're going along your path here and you think you're making progress, and so what, you screw up a little bit. You could be reborn as a dog or a pig, you know, or a chitin. You can be reborn backward, too. And
definitely.
And maybe in some theoretical sense, a rock does have consciousness. We know that it emits energetics because we work with that a lot. But is that the same as consciousness? I think it's also referring to specifically the Voyager here. The Voyager, and he says not now. What is it at Sam 15? Somewhere, doesn't it say, like, now is when you're supposed to do this?
Oh, sorry.
11.
Yeah.
No. Oh, 12, I guess. And this, you must realize now, not afterwards.
Right. You should be in the presence of the 8 violent female guides on this day, and this you must realize now, not afterwards. Yeah.
So, let's see what we mean by how can these badass brujas be guides? I mean, is this just the Don Juan thing where that your enemy gets thrown upon you and that sort of thing? But what does it mean here that these are the guides? Sounds to me like they're going to beat me up.
They can only beat you up if they're separate from you, if they're not you. So, I mean, I understand it to be saying I'm looking for the recognition, the awareness that these are actors in my own consciousness. They're created by my own consciousness.
This is a pretty specific thing. He's not saying some guide. He's saying these 8, and I don't have enough background to understand why 8 and not 7 or 13 or 2. But these are female guides. Now, that means something very, very different to me, to Pat, and to you. So, for me, I guess, just to say what comes to the top of my brain, because I'm here, it's like with me, with all my issues about women and how it works for me and hungers and distastes and back, you know, and wishes and hopes and da da da, it's a plethora of confusion. And the last one, which is the mother, you know, in my opinion, is really complicated. So all of that's in me, right? And if I see it as that's what I'm battling in this world, then I'm battling in this world rather than seeing this is what I am projecting. Mm-hmm. I am projecting this confusion. Because some people will look at me baffled. Why are you so confused about that relationship thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple. So that's the form of the guide that I'm picking up here, is that it's reflecting your own stuff. And your own stuff is made manifest in how you approach the world. For instance, it is.
So there's a phrase before we get to that. It's the last part of that lovely
You're in the next
verse
part.
8. And
oh, okay.
After it completes all of those lovely things, it says, and he who recognizes them as the forms of his own consciousness shall be raised up, and they shall be him to him as brother and sister, mother and father, son and daughter, husband and wife. And my immediate response was, I see. It's relationships. Okay, what is it about relationships? Dynamics about relationships. Who's in charge? Who's in control? Where's the victim? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
All that
yeah.
is the description in the neutral part, and then it says, and on this day the eight violent and evil women shall appear to you. So it's actually defined what is this structure in this particular chamber. It's manifesting as relationship, okay, which is what I said at the beginning. It depends on your point of view.
Absolutely.
Are you relative to this? Are you objective? Are you subjective? Are you in the inside of it or on the outside of it? How is it that it is occurring to you? And this particular description, blunt and graphic and bloody as it is, seems to me, I happen to relish this particular one, seems to me to be the easiest to get a hold of if you don't assume that it means anything other than what is written.
Well, you know, when you read that again, and I realized that once again I had forgotten that, you know.
Yeah, when you went into the next part.
Yeah,
yeah.
Totally forgot that part, but it, in a sense, as we learned at the very first part of the ABD, this guidebook, open the guidebook to the very first page, just for a second. What does it say?
Well, it says...
Not that.
Oh,
of
you
the
mean
book.
The book. Okay.
You're past it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm past it. Okay. No, that's the map.
No, what is that? That's the first part of the book.
Yes.
It's called The Map.
The Map.
And that's what I'm saying, is that this is
mm-hmm.
the map,
mm-hmm.
and EJ is telling us over and over and over, bloody again, this is the map,
yep.
you know,
yep.
wake up,
yep.
this is the map.
Yep, get your bearings, get your orientation, what's north.
Wait a minute, this
yep.
is the map.
Yep, that's right.
So in that particular verse, he's saying, here's the map,
mm-hmm.
here's where you are. Okay, now that you know where you are, here's what's going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Eight bloody, fiery...
Mm-hmm.
Brujas,
mm-hmm.
the Earth Mother tearing stuff up, okay?
Yeah, I'd just like to comment on this, that this is a circular book. It's like a snake with its tail in its mouth. Because if you go back to the beginning of this book, the second verse says, in other words, the guide says, this knowledge cannot be derived from objects, the perfected knowledge. But in fact, objects are derived from this knowledge. So, I mean, it suggests to me that everything that unfolds from that is to say, these are objects, and these are derived from consciousness. From the, in other words, the awareness, what would you call it? The reality, the spiritual reality of consciousness is generating those violent guides and not vice versa. In other words, your emotion, your reaction, your awareness, and your consciousness is not subject in perfection or from the point of view of this guide, of Ulalim, these, you are not subject to the what would you call it? to the material reduction. Well, to the reduction to a material, or let's say a mechanical or material process or outcome
mm-hmm.
from seeing the visualization of violent guides, be they male, female, monstrous, bestial, human, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But all of this are derived as objects from the knowledge
right.
of perfection. I mean, that's what I'm getting out of this, is that that everything in the detail of this book could be seen as unreeling in the manner that's described by the guide in the first two verses.
Very well put, Ivan. Really good.
I mean, actually, I got to that from, again, looking at this very last bit that Patricia was talking about, or that Marvette was asking about, which is to say, you shall be reborn without consciousness. So if you're reborn without consciousness, then you're not senior to the object. So it's like saying you're being reborn as something that's subject to the perfection or the consciousness. You're not the consciousness. You're the object that's being generated by some other consciousness or something.
That's very helpful.
So
that comes from, again, from teaching English composition. It's like the analysis of the text.
Yes.
But the text has in it what you need in order to travel. It's like what David's saying. If this is the map, and the detail in the map is giving you information that you use as you're going along in your journey using the map, and you need to be able to read the map. You have to know what is the legend. You need to know where are the cardinal points. What is it that you use as your reference? So you orient, which is the most crucial thing about using a map. You have to know which way it's pointing so that you line it up. This is one of my favorites, by the way.
It's very,
love
a lot of fruit here. And so 9 says, and on this day the 8 violent and evil women shall appear to you. Mm-hmm. And 11, and they shall come to you, and they shall cast you down if you believe in their reality as they seem to you now. So, I often use myself as a example of fairly thorough unconsciousness, so, which I seem to practice much of the day. But so anyway, so when these violent and what is it called?
They are called violent and evil women.
So violent evil women show up on my doorstep. How do I respond to that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. So here they come, and what do? I start getting afraid, defensive. But here's the thing that hit me as I was reading this tonight, and I'm listening to both of you read. I automatically categorize them.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, at the end of verse 10, it says, and it shall seem to you as if an ordinary meeting. So reconcile those two.
Yeah, so to me, at the end of 10 there, it says it's an ordinary meeting. I just think of it as an ordinary meeting, but without hesitation, I immediately conclude this is something about that person. About that person.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Out there.
Yeah. I don't have the awareness as a good karate fighter would of watching the move come to me with patience. And as an Aikido, let it go by. I watch it and I am, without even with a hair's breadth, it's just already defined. Am I able in my day to pause and just, this is what's before me?
Now, I'm just not going to let you leave that as the question, because my experience at the gas station at the Arco in Chico, I'm gassing up the car while my brother is in the emergency chiropractic place, after I've taken my mother to doctor, and before I get back here to do this, and before I go and see Lily. That's my frame of reference. I'm overwhelmed. I've got a huge plate I'm dealing with. And I had seen the two guys, you know, quote, homeless, whatever, behind the propane pump. And I knew that they were out of view of the office. So whatever they were doing was not going to be being observed by the owners of the gas station. So I was already alerted, you know, like, basically, right? So the guy comes over as I'm cleaning my windows and the pump is running. I picked these for you, ma'am. These are for you. I can't. Not right now. I just can't. Go away. I can't. He's got a handful of freshly picked flowers. I have already decided I'm not interacting with this right now. So he leaves the freshly picked, beautiful yellow flowers in the handle holder where I'm going to put the pump handle after I finish pumping the gas. So then he comes back one more time and adds another flower. He doesn't say anything. Adds another flower. Okay. So now it's like, okay, you know, what kind of a schmuck is it that's going to do something mean to the flowers by putting the pump handle in? So I take the flowers and I walk them over to the place where you stick your card in so you can pay for the pump and you can get your receipt out. And I stick them in the available place where theoretically nothing's going to go, except that that's where the receipt comes out. And I leave them there, and I, you know, drive my car and make the U-turn and go back to see. And I go back by that place about 20 minutes later after I've picked up my brother, and I really want to know, did anyone pick up those flowers? Or are they still sitting there and people are looking at, why are those flowers there? Now, that was the best I could do.
Correct, yes.
And under my circumstances was I said nothing bad to the guy, and I didn't shut him down totally because I accepted the gift, but not directly. That's as good as I could do under the circumstances. But I had already assumed that he would want something from me if I interacted, so and I couldn't have one more thing.
So this reminds me of the movie Tom Popo. Do you remember this?
I do.
Ivan, did you?
I've seen Tom Popo.
Tom Popo, where the master chefs and all that are all dressed like total hobos.
Yeah.
And,
oh, that
and they're all, but they're highly skilled in what they do. And this is... this is somebody coming to you.
Yes.
The universe kind of saying, thank you for what you're doing right now. We know you're overwhelmed.
And I just couldn't.
Here's as close as we can get to you.
You don't, you know, please.
Holy Christ on the cross.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
what an
you know,
event.
I couldn't because I was already too far. So I did the best I could. I put them someplace where I think they'll be fine. For somebody else, maybe.
But that reminds me, you're this quote, this thing, overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're overwhelmed, and when you take on as much accepted responsibility as somebody as Pat does, her biological machine at the moment has limitations.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes another thing occurs, and I've seen this too, and she might or might not acknowledge it, is there's another type of bounce.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. You get overwhelmed, and the other bounce occurs.
Yeah.
Do you know, don't say anything, but do you know what I mean by that? Anybody? When I'm referring to the bounce?
Are you talking about when you come back after hitting bottom?
In a sense, in a certain way like that. In the, is anybody online answering that? Is there anybody online, first of all? Reading your hand. Okay. So in the first part of the transit experience, there's a term that is used, and if you read the ABD, about there are three bounces, if I remember correctly, right?
That's correct.
And the impact of the transit creates a bounce.
Exactly.
And you bounce into the white light beyond the, it's just,
yeah.
And then you come back and you bounce. And it's the spectacular energetic of that release. And so how do we experience that on Earth now? Exactly like Pat did. She couldn't take on more of whatever that interaction was, but she was wise enough to guide her own machine through the event however she did, because she knew there was something there happening.
Mm-hmm.
So she did what she could. And that brings me to the last,
the third one before it.
The three before it.
Yeah.
13, 14.
Yep.
13 and 14.
Yes.
And now this individual, this being, this entity, sits there, and we think of it, oh my God, what's that first couple of lines there, Ivan? Go ahead and or Pat. Somebody read it.
13.
Mm-hmm.
And there shall also appear to you the bloodthirsty one, the female guide, who shall be infatuated with death and dying. And she hungers for death.
Infatuated is just like, oh my God, bloodthirsty, infatuated with death. Like, there's a lot of imagery there, right?
Oh, definitely.
And you can, oh, red, yaganga. So here's this powerful being that's got these attributes that we read in these two chapters. Infatuated with death. And then it says, and then go ahead and read the next phrase, please, Ivan.
She hungers for death, for she has never tasted death.
She has never tasted death. And then,
and she hungers for sleep, for she has never tasted sleep.
And you read this, and I was sad when I finished reading these two verses, that here's this powerful being, and they're saddened by the fact that they couldn't experience these pains and these, the death, the experience.
Yes, her experience is only, okay, well, go ahead, 14. Yeah, the first two sentences.
14, and the hungers for suffering, and she hungers for suffering, for she has never tasted pain. And to her consciousness, suffering and death are tales told by another.
Tales told by another. And for me, when I read that, I was so sad for her. And I flipped it. Well, she hasn't experienced that suffering, these pains and stuff like that. And we go, yeah. Well, she also hasn't experienced the beauty of a simple candle flame. You know, just seeing it and touching it and sensing what that's like. And it reminded me of what a spectacular gift we have of being in the human body, that we have the opportunity beyond opportunities, that here we are right now. And if you read chapter 24, Practical Work on Self, which I don't think we have a copy of, but if you read that, it talks about the delicious, how delicious life is, and when do you mostly understand that? In the last hour of life, which is the chapter title. So bring that last hour of life to today, and you walk out the door, whether you're bit on the ass by a dog or not, enjoy the beauty of this existence, because look where you might be.
Yes.
Look where you might otherwise be.
The finest sentence is, after we know that her consciousness is only second hand about suffering and death and sleep. and she is the cause, as in the creator, as in the reason of worldly suffering, pain, death, and disease, because that is the only manner in which she can have that experience. She is the mother of the world. How about that? That is the creator, cause, generator of, because there is no other means for her to have that experience.
And she can never really be with her children.
Nope. So who does that remind you of? What's the name of that one that's out there and births the all of the gods? Myth, Norse mythology, myths, Greek myths, the one before that had all of the children.
Well,
I can't remember his name. There you go.
Kronos. Did you say Kronos?
Kronos.
Kronos and Gaia, something like that. I think they represent sort of the heavens and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the archetypal Genesis, like the beginning from chaos or whatever.
Yes.
But also, you know, I'm something that occurs to me with this is that if you were to find yourself arrived at this archetype, you know, like you're in the chamber where you're actually confronting this mother of the world, to feel fear, you know, to objectify that process and to say, oh, this is a terrible machine thing that's happening out there, would be, I think that what this book is saying is that you would then be sucked into the cycles of pain and suffering and rebirth, whereas if you were able to embrace that great mother, to see that this is something that I can merge with. It's the husband and wife, sister and brother, sister and sister, mother and father. Blah, blah, blah. You know, to be able to be in relationship with the great mother would be to have that undying reality and not the one where you're sucked into the material cycles. Anyway, so I'm not sure about that, but how that would work, but it seems to me it's the archetype. It's a chamber, you know, where you're, which is not ordinary perception.
There's also something in the book of Genesis where Eve is called the mother of all living.
Is that Eve or something? Is that Eve in the book of Genesis? Eve? I'm wondering if that's Eve, Mother Eve.
It is. I think that's in... There are basically two creation stories in Genesis, and I think this is in the first one, just after Eve is created. So it's the Adam single consciousness that has now split and become dual. And he calls her Eve because she is the mother of all living.
We may be getting a little away from our book here. The verse 16, the close of this book again is, and except you recognize these guides as the forms of the spiritual consciousness, you shall be reborn without consciousness. So this is what I'm saying about the chamber. You know, you're to recognize and have the awareness of the spiritual nature of all of these entities is to be in that, where that guide of the perfection is, where there aren't objects, because it's where the objects are generated from. And it's the pure awareness, it's the reality of spiritual consciousness.
So this imagery that is throughout the imagery of the Voyager and the Bardos and things like that. It's constantly there, and there's always the constant thread of hope and release, too. And because it says if you do recognize that,
yeah.
If you do recognize
yeah.
that, you then praise. If you do,
and he who is not afraid of them and is not overcome by them, he shall recognize, shall remain awake.
And shall remain awake. So, but it's, you know, we have to do the work. We have to get into the place where when we see these two bums behind the propane thing or these,
yep.
these violent women that are like in an ordinary meeting.
Yes.
And instead of reacting or concluding.
Yes.
We sit with it for a moment because then that is possible to us.
Yeah. And it's prefaced after the description of the guide, and this is the instruction. And therefore, every time we're told
This is
the instruction. This
right.
is what you want to do. It's directions on how to make it on the journey. This is the instruction. Pay attention. We're telling you right now, it is possible for you to recognize reality as it is in spiritual consciousness. You use that expression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So will we get to this particular space again?
Undoubtedly.
There's a uniqueness about this. That there's six individuals in this room and three people working in a particular way here, supported by several people of consciousness. And if that is placed in our essence self as a moment and as a deposit in that, it'll always be there. And we'll come back to it however we can come back. But this one is particularly sweet for me. Thank you for participating so actively.
Fine quality.
Yeah. So thank you all for coming tonight. And we'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday at 7 o'clock when we'll proceed to the next book, which will blow your mind too.
This book is going to take a few weeks.
Okay. Okay. So good night.